And now, let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Well, welcome back on Monday. We have pulmonologist Dr. Douglas Harrington with info on a blood test that can detect heart disease, plus how to stay heart healthy. And author Bobby Ann Cole on bridging the gap between Jews and Christians and her memoir, Love Triangles. But we continue right now with our sexuality. Our guest is clinical sexologist, aka sex therapist, Dr. Claudia Six, and her book is Erotic Integrity: How to Be True to Yourself Sexually. Dr. Six is based in San Francisco and has over 25 years experience helping thousands enjoy more fulfilling relationships. Welcome, Dr. Six.
Good morning, Maggie.
Your book is definitely awakening, and a lot of people don't want to admit that a lot of the hang-ups they have come from the people who raised them.
Well, I try not to throw anybody under the bus, but we are a product of our environment.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you got interested in this, because there are so many people who don't love their bodies, which means they don't really love themselves or even understand who they are.
Well, I can tell you briefly my story, how I got into this, is I was born and raised in France. I know I don't sound it. And my parents decided, probably trying to buy themselves some time, they decided they weren't going to give me the birds and the bees talk. They were going to wait until I asked questions. And I must have asked questions at a very young age, because apparently by the time I was 5 years old, I had all the information. I was telling my Catholic grandmother's friends all about how babies were made. And then growing up, there was this call-in radio show in the background of my life about sex and relationships. So if I was at my grandmother's house on vacation or my best friend's house after school, this radio show was always in the background, and I always heard it, and it probably shaped my mind to a large degree. And then I came to the States, and I realized that, you know, basically the only thing that interested me was sex and relationships. It's what I noticed in the world. So after a confused youth being a geography major in college, I went back and I got a degree in psychology and a degree in clinical sexology, and that's how I got into this. It's my calling. There's really nothing else I would want to be doing. And indeed, people do have trouble loving their bodies. I think it is somewhat of a cultural issue. It does happen a bit more in the U.S. than in France. But that's a place to start. It's like if you can't love yourself, it's a little hard to let yourself be loved by somebody.
Yeah. When you travel in Europe in so many places, they don't have the hang-ups that we have. I mean, you see kids on the beach with no clothes on at all, a lot of topless women, things along those lines. And they're not hung up about it the way we are. There's a much more freeness and acceptance. And that's what so many people are looking for, is acceptance of who they are, what they believe, and what they want and desire.
And that's a lot of what I do with my clients. I've coined my approach as erotic integrity, which is why that's the title of my book.
Right.
Because what I do with my sex therapy clients, people come to sex therapy thinking they're broken. They think they're supposed to be different than they are. They're supposed to get turned on by something. They're not supposed to get turned on by something. They're supposed to be monogamous. They're not supposed to be bisexual. So I help them figure out who they really are. And then I help them embrace that so that they can live their sexuality authentically. And when you live your sexuality authentically, it's not just about getting your rocks off in bed. It's about how you show up in the world. It's about having more confidence in bed and in life.
Yeah, very true. And you talk about how to get out of the head and into your body, because our heads control so much.
Yes, and it's hard to enjoy sex if you're in your head, you're not in your body. So if you're anxious about sex, as a lot of people are, then it's hard to experience pleasure in your body. You got to choose. You got to be in one or the other. So when people get twisted up in bed and twisted up sexually, it's often because they're in their heads. And the good news is, you know, that it's not terminal. You can change that.
Well, you say no matter what age you are, you can step up your desire. And in a sense, you're freeing yourself for having a lot more fun.
I have clients of all ages, and I love it when I have people like in their 60s or 70s coming in and discovering new things about their sexuality. And one thing I tell all my clients at any age about desire is there's this huge misconception about what desire is, and people confuse desire and arousal. So I tell people, desire, you can come to it from three places. You can come to it from your crotch, you know, that throbbing loins, that horny feeling. And men have testosterone, so men typically do experience of it, desire more in their crotch. And then you can come to it from your heart, like I really love this person, I want to feel close to them, I want to wrap my legs around them, I want to experience pleasure with them. Or you can come to it from your head, like, gee, you know, it's been 2 months, 2 years, 2 days, whatever, and it would be a good idea if we had sex. And it doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter if one person is 50% in their heart and 50% in their head and the other person's 100% in their crotch. It does not matter. Desire is the willingness to get started. It's the willingness to move towards your partner sexually. Arousal is what happens afterwards. It's the squirming, the lubricating, the heavy breathing, the contorting. That comes once you get started. And often people look to their crotch for desire. And when it's not happening, especially women, and especially, you know, older women, middle-aged or older, then they think there's something wrong. And there isn't. There's nothing wrong. There's lots of ways that desire can get decreased or suppressed, and there's lots of ways that it can get enhanced.
Yeah. One of the things you also talk about very early in your book is infidelity, but you call it infidelity versus non-monogamy. And, I see relationships change dramatically because, oh, he cheated on me. But at the same time, it's something that a couple can work through and come out better on the other end.
Yes, infidelity is basically being out of integrity. It's being out of personal integrity with yourself and prioritizing something else over your commitment to the relationship. That's infidelity. Non-monogamy, if it's done well, and unfortunately often it's misguided and it's not done well, is about, I'll define, there's lots of terms for non-monogamy. There's polyamory, there's open relationships, there's having multiple lovers, and there's lots of different configurations. And it can be done successfully if you set yourself up for success and follow certain guidelines. But most people don't know how to do that. And so they want something, and they don't know how to make it happen in their relationship. And so they do something on the side with somebody else. And that's infidelity, and that's doomed. I tell people, if you're going to cheat, assume you're going to get found out. It might be a week or a year or 5 years from now. Just assume you're going to get found out.
And in a sense, they want to be found out.
I don't know.
The bad boy syndrome? The bad woman syndrome?
What syndrome?
I said just bad boy. You talk about, you give an example of Letitia and Jose.
Yes.
And she saw some of the flags before she even walked down to say I do, but thought she could change him. And then when it came up, she kind of goes, look at what he did to me.
Yeah, to me. Yeah, he didn't do anything to her.
No.
Yeah. People, what's the popular saying? Men marry thinking she won't change. Women marry thinking he will change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're both wrong.
Yeah.
So she did not change him. She put blinders on. There were signs that, you know, he was a bit of a playboy. But the thing is, he's not the bad guy. He, you know, the relationship in that case in the book, you know, they had kids. They were working. They were commuting. They were running a household. They didn't have the communication skills. And they got complacent like a lot of people do. And they got resentful and they didn't talk about stuff like a lot of people do. And then she was pushing him away. And he needed love, and he needed attention, and he didn't know how to do it, and he was a good-looking guy, and he went and got it elsewhere, and that's a very, very common predicament. And they sorted themselves out, and they grew beyond that, and now they're doing well.
Yeah, That's the thing. You can get past it. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break, but when we return, more with Dr. Claudia Six and her book, Erotic Integrity. By the way, we will take phone calls, and you know the numbers, but I'll give it to you when we get back. Stay tuned.
Funny, wise, outgoing. Maggie Linton shares more coming up next on Urban View. And now let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Well, welcome back. We continue with clinical sexologist Dr. Claudia Six and her book, Erotic Integrity, How to Be True to Yourself Sexually. We've got a call from, believe it or not, Jose in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Jose. Thank you for calling.
Oh, this is Jose.
I'm sorry?
Yes, this is Jose. How you doing?
Oh, Jose. Okay. I'm fine, Jose. So go right ahead with your question.
I don't have a question. I would like to, you know, make a comment. I love the book and the story she's saying. Mm-hmm. But I believe that one of the things important in a relationship, especially in a relationship early, is really looking to be noncommittal until you're a little bit more mature. I know I was in a relationship early and maybe around 24, 25, 26. And basically, I don't think I had the maturity to maintain a relationship, especially when it came to monogamy. I was in the entertainment business, traveled a lot. And I think that the more mature you are in understanding and really letting each other know the truth, makes it a little bit more, you know, easily. Basically, after my relationship was over, a year later, I came back and apologized for not being as mature to consider the other person's feelings and things like that. And it made our relationship better. I didn't, you know, stay with the person, but still in the same, I felt better apologizing and understanding that I needed to be much more mature in that relationship.
Doctor?
I agree with you, Jose. And people think about the word commitment as like lock, stock, and barrel, lifetime commitment. And there's different levels of commitment. You can commit to different things. Commitment doesn't have to be marriage. You can commit, like you said, you can commit to honesty. You can commit to open communication, regardless of what's happening. You can commit to being authentic with each other. You can commit to being present with each other. And if you enjoy each visit with each other, then you have another visit with each other. Commitment doesn't
right.
have to be long-term, but there's lots of different things you can commit to. You can commit to on a monthly basis, but I think committing to honesty and open communication is crucial. I think you're absolutely right, Jose.
You know, when he said communications, I thought, why don't more people talk to each other as they start up a relationship? It's just being open and honest. You know, you can't say, well, I don't want him to know everything about me. Well, why not? If this is somebody
right.
that you're considering, why not be open and honest about it and say who I am, what I do, and not play games?
And then
right.
you got to
I think that was very important because, like in my relationship, when we decided to get married, the whole issue was I wanted more children. But I think she was in love with the idea of marriage more so than having more children. So basically, later on, she came out and was open. Yes, I wanted to get married, but I don't want to have more children. So basically, you know, that was a breaking point because there was no honesty there. Mm-hmm. And being as though I did want more children, that also put a whole lot of strain on the relationship. So honesty, I think, is first.
Oh,
and being
yeah.
open also.
Let me applaud you. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and then when you communicate more openly before a commitment, a long-term commitment, then the other person can make an informed choice.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jose had known that his beloved didn't want more children, he could have made a more informed choice about marriage. So open
right.
communication is very important for both parties.
Yeah, very true. Thank you so much, Jose, for a really poignant and right on comment. So thank you. Have a blessed weekend.
You too.
All right. Thank you. We got Susan from Texas. Good morning, Susan. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning, Maggie. Love your show.
Thank you.
I was calling just to ask, I'm kind of glad I'm not on TV. It's like one of those questions that you really want to ask, but you don't want no one to hear.
Uh-huh. I'm sure there's more than one Susan in Texas, so go right ahead. Talk.
Okay, the question, my husband and I have been married for 3 months. Best friend, loved him, we're always together, we work together, we're always around each other. We get along 95% of the time. The only thing is we have an intimacy problem where he's not able to. And sometimes I'm irritated. And I love him, and I know, you know, he's a diabetic and he's going to the doctor Monday.
So can I ask some questions, Susan?
Sure.
Okay, so it's not unusual when people are, you know, it's a little awkward talking about sex, and people often use sort of euphemisms and vague expressions. So when you say he's not able to, does that mean he's not able to get an erection, he's not able to keep an erection, he comes too soon, he doesn't come? What exactly is he not able to do?
It's not up, honey.
Okay, and then you said he's diabetic. Is he on meds for diabetes? Okay, because blood pressure, I mean, diabetes meds and blood pressure meds can interfere with erections.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be some of what's going on. Beyond that, I would say don't discuss it when you're frustrated, because he will know that you're upset, and then he will get upset. So if you're going to talk about it, you have to talk about it in a moment when you're not upset, when you're really feeling calm and generous and open-hearted and curious. And one little tool that is helpful with guys who have a little trouble sort of getting or keeping a full erection, it's called the lasso or cock ring, so that when he has as full an erection as he's going to get, this is something that you attach at the base of the penis, and it helps restrict the blood flow in the penis and maintain the erection. If he's having trouble getting an erection at all, I would say start with a visit to the urologist.
Urologist.
Does he get morning erections?
No.
No.
At all. He has an appointment Monday to go see his doctor. So I get it. I understand it. And he gets frustrated. And, you know, he does what he needs to do to please me, but I feel bad because I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of one-sided.
Mm.
I guess I should be happy, but, you know.
Yeah. Sure, I understand, but you have to get rid of the guilt, too. And tell him to really, just like Dr. Six said, really check with many different clinics are out there now who can help you and can help him. And, you know, that's what he needs to seek. If the doctors, urologist especially, because there may be something else going on. Go ahead, doctor.
Whatever you do, do not let him do any kind of penile implants.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, shots or anything like that.
I was thinking also, you know, sometimes just taking more time for the intimacy leading up to the actual sexual act can also help a man along. Just like a woman needs that. Many men do, too. And that might be something, you know, rather than, okay, I'm ready, let's go to bed. Take the time. And it may be the foreplay can be just as exciting and can maybe help him out in some way.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Lady.
Okay. But also, you know, you got people like Dr. Six who can also help you. So, but him starting with his doctor, urologist in particular, will at least get it going, hopefully.
And another thing to bear in mind is erection is not a prerequisite for orgasm and ejaculation. There are plenty of people who have, like, spinal injuries who can't get an erection, who can have an orgasm. So just because a man is not having a full or, you know, I was going to say lengthy, poor choice of words, yeah. erection does not
I was going to say hard on.
Yeah, doesn't yeah. mean he can't experience pleasure. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot more questions to ask Susan there. But, yes, thanks for calling, Susan.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Susan, and blessings for everything going well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, it's once again so important to talk about this. Once again, we're talking with sexologist, of which a.k.a. sex therapist, Dr. Claudia Six. Her book is Erotic Integrity, How to Be True to Yourself Sexually. Call from Quincy in Georgia. Good morning, Quincy. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Ms. Six, got a question for you. Me and my wife have been married for 19 years. And we have an intimacy problem as well, because me, I'm very, very, very open. And my wife is very closed-minded. And looked up your book, and I'm going
to
purchase it.
No, I'm going to send it to you. Just hang on after you're done, and I will send you a copy of this. But go ahead, doctor.
Right. And Quincy. And I'll be honest with you. When you was talking about the infidelity and that topic, and I have. And, you know, because of what you're not getting from home. And as I'm getting older and more mature, I'm getting, the frustration is getting greater because, if I be honest, all I want is my wife. But it still is like this big gap that I'm not getting physically, nor the communication is there. And I'm kind of stuck. I don't know where to go or what to do.
What is it that you are wanting that she is not open to, Quincy?
I can't say it's not one particular act. My mindset is that we've been together for 19 years, our youngest child is about to graduate. I mean, in my mind, my fantasy is for us to be enjoying life, to be enjoying each other to the fullest. I mean, trying new things. Just experimenting with each other, get to know each other again now that we don't have to concentrate on kids and that type of responsibility.
So is it that she is a little older now, maybe approaching her 40s or 50s, and her libido has dropped because of perimenopause?
I thought about that. If I go back, you said something about it being mental and physical and yada, yada, yada. I'm a very physical person and mental, but I think based off what I've heard you discussing is that, you know, she believes that, you know, well, it should go like this and it should be like this and I should feel that. And when we have conversations, I'm like, you know, well, just let all that go and just go with the flow or just come
enjoy the journey.
And she doesn't, you know, there's no reciprocation.
So it sounds like she's not enjoying herself and she's not meeting you. She's not matching your energy for whatever reason. She's not able to. It could be any number of things. This is a huge topic that affects a lot of people.
I've got to stop you right there because we've got to get out. But Quincy, hang on. We'll send the book to you. And once again, it is Dr. Claudia Six. Dr. Claudia Six. Her book is Erotic Integrity. And you can check her out at drsix.net. Drsix.net. Thank you all. You've been listening to The Maggie Linton Show. Did you know that there is a way to prevent certain odors from growing in your litter box? New Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal MicroGuard Cat Litter seals and destroys immediate odors with powerful odor eliminators and Arm & Hammer baking soda. Plus, it actually prevents future bacterial odors. Think you are a good litter box scooper? Always on top of it? Did you know that even if you scoop all the time, you're still missing a source of odor? Even after scooping your cat's litter box, bacterial odor keeps growing. Powerful odor eliminators and Arm & Hammer baking soda destroy odors on contact, and they guarantee it. Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal MicroGuard seals and destroys immediate odors and prevents future bacterial odors for 7-day odor control. Guaranteed. Give Arm & Hammer a try. You'll get odor control guaranteed. We'll be right back.